Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Rise to your feet, let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful and grateful. Lord, we ask that your spirit minister to us, lead us in this time, oh God. We pray, let the words that will proceed out of my mouth, oh God, not fall to the ground. Father, we pray for receptive hearts. May our hearts be of them that receive the word and bring forth fruits. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. Manifest yourself in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord. And please be seated. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. We are sharing, continuing today is perhaps the final of our series on those who accuse you. Those who accuse you. And we're sharing from one of our prophets' books, Those Who Accuse You. And our foundational scripture is Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Hallelujah. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. And for that matter, there is now salvation, there is strength, there is the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ that have arrived. Hallelujah. Because the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Today we are continuing and we are talking about employees of the accuser. Employees of the accuser. Not employees of AT&T or Verizon or Citibank, but we are talking about the employees of the accuser. Those who work for the accuser. Those who work for Satan. Satan is the employer. He is the accuser. And we are learning about the kinds of people who Satan employs. Hallelujah. I hope you want to know. Young people, do you want to know the kinds of people that Satan works with, that he chooses to work with? You see, accusation is the work of Satan. Accusation is the work of the devil. I'm going to show you that accusation is a clear work, defined work of Satan. Hallelujah. It is his work. And if he had a chance, if Satan had a chance, he will talk to you or talk to me directly. If he had a way, he will talk to us directly and accuse us. But he cannot. He cannot do that. Why is that? Why can Satan not talk to us directly? The reason is because he is a spirit. He is a spirit. And spirits work through a body. Amen. Are you listening to me? Spirits work through a body. Satan works in the spiritual realm. And in order for him to work with us or get to you, he has to come in a form of a body. But he doesn't have one. Hallelujah. Just as God is also a spirit. God is a spirit. And when God wanted to bring us salvation, when God wanted to save us, He needed a body to work through. He needed to inhabit a body. And that is why Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ was born so the Holy Spirit will inhabit that body to bring us salvation. I hope somebody is understanding what I'm sharing with you. Yeah. So in order for Satan to talk to us, he has to employ the flesh of human beings. He has to employ the flesh of man. Hallelujah. It means in order for the spirit of the accuser to manifest or work on earth, he needs to enter human body that he will inhabit, and then he will work through that body. I hope you understand so far. That is how spirits work. Spirits have no power. They can work on you, but they need a body to get to you. They need to inhabit flesh to work on you. I hope somebody understands. And if you look in the scripture, you see various examples of such manifestations. You see examples where spirits inhabit body to work. Often you will know the kind of spirit that is in the body by the works of the flesh. When you see someone acting a certain way or doing certain works, you can tell the kind of flesh, the kind of spirit that is in that flesh. Hallelujah. One clear example that I can give you is about Samson, for instance. You know, when we think of Samson, if I ask any of you to describe how you think Samson was, perhaps you may describe Samson like a giant. You know, some giant with dreadlocks. You know, but according to Bible scholars, Samson was a smallish man. You know, Samson was not a giant. Are you listening? And the Bible says the Spirit of God came mightily upon Samson. You know, in Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. I hope you are listening to me. I want you to pay attention. You know, you young people, you know, you heard of Samson in your youth class, in your Sunday school, and you saw Samson with the two gates, the pillars of the two gates, and climbing up the mountain. You see, but the Bible says in John and Judges 14 and verse 5, it says, then went Samson down and his father and his mother. Samson was also with his father and mother, young boy. Okay, to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Do you see? A young lion came to attack him. And what happened? And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And suddenly, look at this young boy. What did he do? The Bible says, and he rent him. That means he tore the lion apart. He rent him as if he would have rent a kid. He rent the lion. Why was Samson able to do that? Because of the Spirit of God that came in him. That is why he was able to rent the lion like that. Are you listening? Another example of how the Spirit entered a person, and I'm telling you, you will know the act of the person by the spirit that is in him. That is how you know what spirit. So Samson had this spirit of strength and might to be able to rent the lion or tear the lion apart. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 3, Luke chapter 22 and verse 3, hear this. It says, then entered Satan into Judas. You see, God made man to be good. All men were made to be good. But it is when the Spirit enters into you, then you manifest what the Spirit is. And so if it is a satanic spirit, if it is an accuser spirit that comes in you, look, he says, then entered Satan into Judas, surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. He was one of the 12 disciples. He was a good person. He was a truthful person. But then a spirit entered in him. And then verse 4, it says, and he went his way. When the spirit entered in him, he went his way and then communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them because of the spirit that has entered. Now he has become a betrayer. All of a sudden, because of the spirit that has entered into him. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. That is why Jesus said, we shall know people by their works. That is how you know people. You cannot know people just looking at them, but how they manifest, what they do. That is how you know people. You will know them by their works. That is, you can know the spirit in a person when you look at what the person is doing. Hallelujah. You see, the Spirit of God never accuses. God never accuses. God will never accuse us. God forgives us. All of us. And that is why he says, whilst we were yet sinners, God did not condemn. God did not accuse us. God forgave us. He showed his love. That is what the Spirit of God is. It's love. God is love. And anyone who has the Spirit of God laughs. Anyone who has the Spirit of God is a forgiving person. I am teaching you a very important message. The Spirit of God does not accuse. God is not an accuser. The accusation is a work of Satan. I want to say it again. Accusation is the work of Satan, is the spirit of Satan that leads to accusation, that causes people to accuse. God never accuses. It is Satan who accuses. So when the Spirit of God is operating in you, you will never accuse. When you accuse someone, just wake up and say that it is Satan who has entered into you. The Spirit of God does not accuse. The Spirit of God does not accuse. The Spirit of God does not accuse. Hallelujah. And that is why in Jude 1:9, look at this. Look at that. It says, yet Michael the archangel. I want you to pay attention. The Bible says, Michael the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. That's not, you have the NLT, so the people will understand what I'm reading. Give me the NLT. I'm showing you something very important. I said the Spirit of God does not accuse. When someone is manifesting the Spirit of God, accusation will never come out of the person. The person will never do the work of Satan. Accusation is the work of Satan. So the Bible says, but even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, he was the archangel, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy. Did the devil blaspheme? Yes. The devil blasphemes, but it's never the Spirit of God to accuse. So the Bible says, even Michael the archangel, the perfection of God, Who can stand right to say, I can accuse you? I was there. I saw it. But he says, it dared not, because it is not the work of God. He says, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply, this is what he said, simply said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Bible says he did not dare to accuse. Said, the Lord rebuke you. I hope you are listening to me. Accusation is the work of the devil. The Spirit of God does not accuse. It cannot accuse. It's not a function of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So what kinds of people does the devil employ to do his work of accusation? What kinds of people? I hope you want to know. Number one, evil men. Evil men. Evil men. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So usually, evil men have a lot of evil in their hearts. And out of their hearts comes out evil. Hallelujah. Is it not interesting that it was Judas, the thief, who pointed out a finger at Christ for not caring for the poor? It was Judas. The one that the devil had entered was the one who had certain evil in him. And out of that evil is the same evil that the person accuses. I say you will know a person by the spirit that is in the person. Okay? So it was this Judas who accused. This is the way to know how the evil in a person gets manifest. They seem to spot evil and accuse quickly because they themselves are evil. John chapter 12, verse 4. John chapter 12 and verse 4. Look at that. He says, but Judas Iscariot. Do you remember Judas Iscariot? Whom the enemy and the devil entered. He said, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
He said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. You see? So when someone is making a comment, you know, if you are also not wise and not careful and you do not understand the scriptures, you may reason with him and say, it's true. What a waste. What a waste. That such expensive perfume for one man, you just come and break it on his feet to wash his feet and anoint his head. What a waste. And the Bible says, not that he cared for the poor. That's not the reason why he said it. The reason why he said it was because he was a thief. He was a thief. And so what comes out of a thief is thieving. It's a word. It's not a word, children. It's not a word. When we went to church, the reverend taught us a new word. Amen. The Bible says because he was a thief. Since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. He often stole some for himself. And that is how he manifests. Hallelujah. That is how he manifests. Not that he cared, but because he was a thief. It was the evil in him that was being manifested. So you see someone who is accusing, it is the evil that has entered into him. You know, one time Jesus was there and some men brought a woman to him. And they said that this woman was caught in the very act of fornication, in adulterous life. She was caught in the very act. So they were accusing her because she was caught in the act. And they brought her. I don't know what happened to the man because the woman was not alone. You see, they brought the woman to accuse her of certain sin. Are you listening?
Yes.
Of certain sin. They brought the woman before a man who has the Spirit of God in him. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I do not judge you. I do not accuse you. May your sins be forgiven. Look, the Spirit of God does not accuse. So look at the men who were bringing this woman. So Jesus said, amongst all of you men, if there's anyone here who has not ever committed this kind of sin before, take the first stone and hit her. And the woman started to look at their faces because they have all, you know, she knows them. You know, she knows them. She said, Johnny, lift your stone. Okay, Jimmy. What about you, KK? Danny. Didi. You remember? Saturday night. And then this one has a son. Say, let it go. You remember? Throw it. And then the Bible says, one by one, they dropped their stones and they all left. The one with the Spirit of God never accuses. Never accuses. Never accuses. Amen. Accusation is the work of the devil. Accusation is the work of Satan. Hallelujah. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Go and don't do it again. Amen. Number two, bitter and unforgiving people. You see, you ought to deliver yourself as we are sharing. Bitter and unforgiving people. I tell you, people are not created evil. People, God did not make anyone to be evil. Hallelujah. Is the microphone okay? You can hear me? Okay. So people who are bitter and unforgiving have suffered many hurts and pain. They therefore trust no one and expect no good thing from anyone. When someone has been hurt, when someone has gone through certain situation and have been offended, they have a propensity to allow Satan to enter into them to be employed as an accuser. So you find some people who come out of bad relationships become the wildest accusers of their future partners. It's because of their experience. They have no trust for anyone. One of the people who accuse their leaders the most are Africans. You know, because they have been betrayed by many leaders. For many years, they have been betrayed by many leaders. And so, even when a good leader comes, whatever you are doing, you see that road that he's building? You know? You see the road? He made it from here to there because his house is there. because it is this, because it's that. They don't see any good coming out of any leader because of. So you find they are full of accusation. Even for a good leader, they will accuse you because of experiences. So even the best of leaders are met with numerous accusations about their lives. And it's difficult to lead an army of suspicious and accusing people. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. The Bible says, David, 1 Samuel 30 and 6. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him. You see, when people are bitter for experience that they have gone through and they are hurt, they conjure plans to stone you. And for people to have come to a stage of now we are agreeing to stone him, they must have accused you and condemned you. So people who are hurt, people who are in pain, are people that are employed by Satan. Hallelujah. When you hear someone accusing his pastor, you will also hear that same person saying how he was hurt by what the pastor did or what the pastor did not do. Whenever you hear someone accusing a minister, you hear of an experience. That is why you ought to heal quickly when you are hurt. You ought to forgive quickly. Else the enemy enters into you and uses you to accuse. I tell you, no matter how you portray it, if you accuse, it's a Satan that is working through you. I'm showing you that the Spirit of God never accuses. The Spirit of God never accuses. So no matter how justified you are, it is still the work of the enemy to accuse. Are you listening to me? Number three, insecure and jealous people. Insecure and jealous people. People who are not secure in their positions tend to attack anything that comes around them. When people are not secure, they attack everything that comes around them. Are you listening? So, an insecure female dog, for instance, which has littered, which has several babies around it, if you go near the babies, even your intention is to feed them, it will attack you. It will attack you. Because they have seen many times when people have taken their babies from them for sale. Are you listening? Insecure husbands and wives constantly accuse their spouses of having an interest in other persons. Often the husband or wife is jealous of how their partner seems to be happy in the company of others. And this generates jealousy and insecurity. Hallelujah. So people who have insecurity, so whenever you see a person who is insecure in her position, insecure in her marriage, insecure in any position that she or he occupies, that person is someone that the enemy looks for to employ. Because they easily accuse. Say amen. Amen. The next one, ungrateful people. Ungrateful people. You know, Bishop said something. He says, if you are not thankful, you will be a murmurer. And it is very true. If you are not thankful, you will murmur. People who are not thankful for what they have received often have little restraints when they are attacking their loved ones. When you are not thankful for what you have received, you become an accuser. They say things like, I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. Are you the only one who has done something good for someone? Have you heard that before? Are you the only one who has given papers to someone? Are you the only one who has found a job for someone? Are you the only one who has found someone to finish school? Are you the only one who has bought this for this person? And that is how they talk. And sometimes you don't say it outwardly, but you say it in your heart. The people of Israel accuse Moses. They accuse Moses of trying to kill them, when in fact Moses was delivering them from Egypt, from slavery. They were not grateful. They did not thank Moses. They did not once thank Moses. If you are not a thankful person, you'll be a murmurer. They did not once thank Moses for delivering them from slavery until he died. They accused him constantly. Constantly. Hallelujah. If you were thankful for the privileges that have come to you through certain people, you would never want your mouth to be used to rain slime, vomitus, and feces on them. And that is exactly what the enemy wants to do when he employs you to be an accuser, to slander people, to vomit on people, to pour out slimes on people, and to destroy people's lives. That is what the enemy employs people to do when he's employing accusers. Hallelujah. Bishop says, in my experience, I find that accusers are often ungrateful people with short memories. With short memories. They do not understand how God was good to them through certain people. Accusers do not understand. Listen, you can assess yourself and say, if you have ever accused someone before, if you think back, you see, we are saying that accusers have short memory. They cannot remember. If you can remember, if you have accused someone before, reflect in your life and look back and see that that very person has done some good in your life. That person has done some good in your life. And whenever you are not thankful, whenever you are not grateful, you will be a murmurer. Whenever you are not thankful for what has been done for you, you will be a murmurer. And that is why you never stop being thankful. Are you listening? That is why you never stop being thankful. That is why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Whenever you are giving thanks, you are delivering yourself from being an employee to the accuser. So it is always better to dwell on the blessings, to remember the good that people have done for you, so that you continue to be a thankful person. The moment you cease to be thankful, you become a murmurer. The moment you cease to be thankful, you become a potential employee of the accuser. You will accuse. You will accuse. And one of the reasons why you will accuse is to justify why you are not thankful. Is to justify why what the person did is irrelevant. So you will accuse the person to make that. Because look, no one is perfect. No one is perfect. And we stand always to offend. We stand always to offend. But we do good to ourselves also. And so in order for you never to stand in a position, never to go for an interview for the accuser to employ you, be thankful. Be thankful. Always remember, this person did this for me. When I was this situation, this person did this for me. This person came through for me. This person gave me when I needed. This person counseled me when I needed. This person was with me when I was down. This person guided me when I needed guidance. Always remember, and it will deliver you from becoming an accuser. Because the moment you cease to be thankful, you will become an accuser. You can try it. But I will dare you not try. Because you see, one thing is when the enemy enters into you, the Bible says that, you know, when your house is swept clean and you drive out Satan and you let him in again, he doesn't come alone. He doesn't come alone. You see, he came into Judas as a thief. And then he didn't know that there was also a betrayer in him. And there's also a murderer, suicide bomber in him. You see, he comes in batches. So your best thing is to save yourself from allowing the enemy to enter into you. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. Amen. So ungrateful people are accusers. Ungrateful people are accusers. The last people are disloyal people. Disloyal people. Often when someone turns against his father without justification, he becomes an accuser. He becomes an accuser. First, you see that you cease being a son. You know, when you call someone daddy, you know, you address the person daddy. Daddy, daddy, you see that it stops. I don't know where the sonship went, but it somehow is gone. Then you define yourself not a son anymore. I'm showing you. Then you are moving on to becoming disloyal. And then you are moving on to become a disloyal. And when you become a disloyal person, you are a potential employee for the accuser. I'm showing you the kinds of people who are employed by Satan to become accusers. Hallelujah. So the accuser often needs to justify himself to others for the stand that he has taken. That is why when you become disloyal, now you become an accuser. When you become disloyal and you take a stand against your father, for instance, you take a stand against a group, for instance, now you have to justify why you have taken that stand. Why I'm no longer there. Why I no longer come. Why I no longer belong to them. Why I no longer see myself as a son to this father. Now you have to justify it. And therefore, you become an accuser. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? That is how you justify. Otherwise, people will see you as an unfaithful. People will see you as an ungrateful. People will see you as a wicked person. But you have to justify. Church, I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. You have to justify it. You have to justify it. And so the moment that need arises, then you are a potential employer. Because I'm telling you, no matter how it comes, no matter what the reason is, as long as you are accusing, when I was this, he didn't do this. When I needed this, he didn't do this. He's not as good as you think. The moment you take that stand, it is the work of Satan. The Spirit of God does not accuse. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. The Spirit of God does not accuse. It is not the work of the Spirit of God to accuse. It's the work of Satan. Because even when the archangel saw blasphemy in front of all the angels that he blasphemed, he said, I want to be like the Most High. I will ascend and be like the Most High. They all heard it. But the Bible says, it is the Spirit of God. It dared not even accuse. Because then he will be doing the work of Satan. And that's not the work of the Spirit of God. So even when there's justification as blasphemy, do not accuse. Do not accuse. You'll be doing the work of Satan. Amen. Amen. So, disloyal people are top class accusers employed by Satan to poison the church, They are top-class accusers who are employed by Satan to poison the group, to poison the church. Absalom, the disloyal son who tried to kill his father, accused him to outsiders. Absalom was the son of David. Okay? He accused his father of neglecting the kingdom and incompetency and mismanagement of affairs. In 2 Samuel, let's read this last scripture and then we can bring the service to a close. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 2. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 2, we're reading down. It says, "And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate." So he went to stand by the city gate and he was waiting because it was a time where the people were coming to the city to see the king or come to the king's court with their matters. They have a case, they have matters, and they are coming to the city court to see the king. And Absalom stood by the gate, and the Bible says he stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" You see, when people are becoming disloyal, they show care. They show concern. When they want you to be on their side, they show concern. They show that they care. Are you listening to me? You see, when the Spirit of God is in you, you work constructively. You help to mend situations. Where you feel there is something broken, you help to fix it. Where you feel there's a need for help, you rise up to help. Are you listening? You do not ever accuse. You will never accuse. Even though there's negligence. So here is Absalom with his father David. So he says he will call a person who is coming to the king's court. He will call this person and says to him, "Where are you coming from? What city do you come from?" And the person, he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel." You know, so he will say, "I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm the tribe of this." You know, he says, "And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right. You have a good case. You have a good case. You should win this case. You have come all the way. All the way. You have a good case." He says, "Thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." The king's court is just haphazard. There is no one appointed by the king to sit to hear matters like this. There is no one. It's a run-down court. Are you listening? It's my father. I know him. I know him. He's always home on the rooftop looking at windows. I know him. He's my father. So he says, there is no one deputed or appointed. Do you have the NLT? The NLT. He says, and Absalom will say, "You've really got a strong case here. You got a strong case. It's too bad the king doesn't have anyone to hear it. It's too bad. No minister to hear it." Then the next, he says, "I wish I were the judge." You see a disloyal person. "I wish I were the judge. Then everyone could bring their cases to me for judgment. And I will give them justice." This is Absalom. "And I will give them justice." So disloyal men are employees of accusation. Once you are a disloyal son, once you feel you no longer belong to this father, once you feel you no longer are a son, you are a potential employee of the enemy. Hallelujah. You are a potential worker for Satan. You become an accuser. And you will hear their acts. You will hear their words. You will hear the things they say. And the things they say should not tell you anything, but it should tell you what kind of spirit is in the person. Because the person, the body is good. God made the body. God made the body to be good. He says you will know them by their fruits, by their works, by what they do. And then you will know now what spirit is operating in that person. And so when you hear someone talking, you identify the spirit that is in the person. You identify the spirit that is in the person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the case. It doesn't matter. And what the person says is justification. Accusation ought to be justified, as it has no value. It has no effect on the hearer when it's not justified. Are you listening to me? So when you hear accusation, be wise. Otherwise, it will affect you, because that is its intent. It's intended to affect you. It's intended to spoil relationship. Listen, I want to tell you. The Bible says, the thief, you know who the thief is? The thief cometh not but for these things. First, to steal. So accusation, when it's coming, is from Satan. And it has intentions. It has purposes. First is to steal. To steal a good relationship that you have. To steal a good place that God has placed you. Satan wants to steal it from you. Satan wants to take it from you. He says he will never come if the place is not good. He says the thief will not come if you have nothing good to steal. If you have a good relationship, the thief will come to steal it. The thief will not bother with you if your relationship is bad. He says he comes to steal. And as you are listening, why is it important for you? Why is it important for you? You see, when the accuser stands before you, it is the thief which has come. It is the Satan which has come. I don't think the church understands. Maybe I should go to Togo. Can I speak French, some French, to some people who can understand me? This thing ought to be fixed, because sometimes I want to come close to. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Why is it important for you to understand this? Because you see, it's not just you hearing your friend and hearing an accuser and hearing a co-worker and hearing a disgruntled person. It has intention. It has intention to steal a good relationship that you have with your boss. The moment you hear accusation, you are not going to look at your boss the same way. You will not. Regardless of the good that he has done for you, the moment you hear accusation, it will change you. So, if you don't have a good relationship with your boss, the Bible says the thief cometh not. The thief will not come to you. The accuser will not come to you. The accuser will select the people who have good relationships. Because he has intention, one, to steal. Are you listening?
Yes.
And two, to kill you. It's to kill you. When the enemy wants to kill you, you see, what time is it? You know? When the enemy wants to kill you, when the enemy wants to kill you, you see, if you have looked at animal movies, okay, and then you see the lions trying to catch a deer or an antelope, Somebody says antelope, so let's say antelope. When there is a whole bunch of antelopes or deer all together, the lions or the lion is not able to attack because they are together. They are together. So what the lion does is to do something to get one of them to just move away. That is what the lion wants to do. So when the lion is going back and forth, trying to chase this one, trying to chase that one, he's just trying to see one of you will go this way. I'm telling you, when the accuser is coming, he has plans. He wants to kill you. He wants to separate you. So he will come, and then after he's done with you, when the lion is done going back and forth, you see one of the deer will just steer away. And he thinks he has found some speed. And running and running, and you are the one. When he's finished with you, he says, to kill you. To kill you. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Accusers, let's watch out for accusation. Let's watch out for accusers. The accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, when it's cast out, strength comes. The power of God comes. Salvation comes. The power of the Christ comes. The kingdom of God make manifest in our midst. Rise up to your feet as we bring the service to a close. The accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We thank you, Lord, that today we identify the accuser, who the real person is, the one that is working, the one that is attacking. Lord, we have identified him, and today we cast him out. And now, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let strength come. Let the power of God come in the name of Jesus. We unite, oh God, keep us together. May we build forward our relationships. May we be fortified in our relationships by the power of Christ in the name of Jesus. For now is come salvation, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. We bless you, Lord. We give you honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to pray for anyone who is here. You are saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. If that is you, you are here this afternoon. You are not born again, but you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Master and as my Savior. Lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Anyone here like that? Wonderful. I want all of you to join me and say this prayer with me. Say this prayer with me with sincerity. The Bible says God is a forgiving God. It says, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not accuse us, but he died for our sins. I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. Accept me as your one of your children. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. Fill me, Lord Jesus. Make me one of your servants. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I will serve you and you alone. Now lift up your hand and say, Satan, I am never your employee. I refuse to be your employee. I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am not an accuser. I will never be an accuser. Lord, help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 821 Burke Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.